Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Welcome back to Jones and Keefe, Mego and Lyons in, while the boys take a day off. I keep seeing on the TV all these reports of the storm, the Hurricane Erin. Is this a big deal for anybody? Like, because they're showing, I love weather reports. Like, I love the big weather days, especially up here, the snow days. I love watching the TV reporters go out with the yardstick and, like, show you how packable the snow is with the snowball. Like, I am a sucker for all that level of TV weather reporting. But I'm not seeing anything. Like, it's basically people standing on the beach in North Carolina going, like, look how big these waves are. And the weather forecast looks gorgeous this weekend. Yeah. So we're not in the path of anything right now.
Doesn't
right?
feel that way. I'm not a sucker for weather reports
okay,
like you.
I love them.
I usually just look at my phone. Like and it says what's coming up.
When there's a big storm, I will have the TV on, like support our local TV stations. I'll have the TV on all day when they're going over. They're talking to the plow drivers on the highway on Mass Pike, like at the gas station, talking about all the different snow and this snow and that snow. Like I know it's stupid. And I know it does bonkers ratings because I used to intern at those TV stations. It's dumb. It's not like great, intelligent content, but I love it. I'm a sucker for it. And watching the hurricane stuff, I'm not seeing any trees even blowing over. I'm just seeing people standing on the beaches going, look how big these waves are.
See, I remember back in the day when you wanted to find out if you had no school or not, you had to watch the news and wait for the little ticker at the bottom to get to your town's name. Like now they just call your home, but they're like, hey, there's no school tomorrow. Or you see it on social media. But back in the day, you actually had to sit there and watch those weather reports, Mega, and hope, oh my goodness, I hope my town is coming up next. And there'd be that sense of dread when it went by and your town wasn't listed. You're like, I got to go get ready for school now.
But I also was like, I'm not getting ready yet because I think it's still going to happen.
Yeah,
like that
I know.
Town is going to pop up. I never understood the two-hour delay. Like, what was the point of... You guys do those up here, right?
Yeah. Well, like it's more to plow, like, the sidewalks in the morning for kids to get on the bus, and then you still get a school day out of it.
No, I understand, like, why you would take the extra time, but at that point, just call it. Like, everybody's day is screwed up. I remember going to school, like, what...
I'm a huge two-hour delay fan.
Like, cramming it. Okay, well, so you're in the system,
but also
so you understand
because
it. What's the point of it?
Then it's one less day you're going in June on the back end.
Okay.
Right? Like, because any snow day you have, that's an extra day in June. You know, so instead of getting out on June 15th, you're going to school June 23rd.
We should just
June
wipe 24th. Those days out.
I would agree with that. That would be great.
If you're under high school age, wipe those days out.
Yeah.
Okay. So today,
sometimes
you don't,
now school
you don't learn
they
what
do
a
remote days.
You don't learn what a parallelogram is. Like, yeah. Okay, sorry. Now you'll have to go through the rest of your life not knowing what a parallelogram
is. Every square is a rhombus, but not every rhombus is a square.
Because yeah, there is a big storm. I thought that was about rectangles.
Every square is a rectangle, but not every rectangle is a square.
Yeah. The rhombus is like the drunk square, right?
Exactly.
It's the one that's falling over a little bit.
Yeah.
That's not considered geometry. What is that?
Yeah, that's shapes.
Okay.
Geometry.
Shapes.
Yeah, yeah.
The shapes math. Shapes math.
Shapes math.
Shapes math is the only math that I was okay at. I'm not doing a good job demonstrating it right now. But like the, you know those equations where you'd have like the geometric equation, you had to balance it out? Are you a math teacher?
No. But I've worked with those, and I'm not a fan.
Oh, those were the only things I liked.
Really?
In all of math.
Sometimes I'm just like, I don't. You know what it is? I'd look at the whiteboard as a kid. I'd be like, I don't want to do this. Not even like, I can't do this or whatever. It's hard. I'd just be like, I don't want to do
this. As a kid, I was very performative, and I loved getting up in class. And I also loved, you remember the overhead projector thing? Do you guys know what I'm talking about behind the glass? Like the overhead projector that had the light and you would write on it with
a
special
sheet on it?
You could write with the special markers. I would never know the answers, but I'd go up just because I wanted to write on it with the special markers.
Just write, like scribble on them, so be like, oh, wait, I wrote the right thing.
My teacher would just like stop asking me to come up because I never had the answer, but I wanted to use the arts and crafts supplies.
Of course. Yeah. Those, back then, that was like really cool technology. And also when you had the TV on the wheelie stand that you would roll into the room. You'd get so excited because it would be movie day.
Always reminds me of 9/11.
Okay. Nice segue there.
I'm just saying. They rolled it into our classroom because we weren't that far from the Pentagon.
See, they didn't do that for us.
It was alarming. That's what it always makes me think of. I don't know why you had to take it there.
Yeah.
Bringing in that wheelie TV.
I know. But with us, it was because it'd be movie day and it'd be fun.
And the only movie that we ever watched in school was Twister. It was always Twister. I think it must have been like approved for all public schools.
Yeah.
But do you know John Cappuccetti? He used to work at the Boston Herald with me.
I feel like that name sounds familiar to me.
Well, he must be listening. Shout out, John. He's a big Jones fan. So yeah, I know that he usually listens to
this program. He must be really excited today with Jones not here then.
I think he was alarmed by something that you said. And I also saw it on the text line in the last segment. Between Terry McLaurin and DK Metcalf, who's the better wide receiver? He put out a poll asking that, and some people on the text line are pretty upset that you said that Terry McLaurin greater than DK Metcalf.
I think Metcalf greater than McLaurin.
Oh, I'm sorry, the other way. DK Metcalf is greater than McLaurin.
Like, McLaurin's had 5 straight 1,000-yard seasons, 82 catches a year ago, 56 of them for first downs. I look at Metcalf in the last 5 years. He's had, 3 1,000-yard seasons, but the others were in the high 900s. Mm-hmm. So right in the same neighborhood. He has more yards per catch usually in most years. Fewer touchdowns, give or take there. And I just think he's bigger, more physical, a little more explosive. Like, that's where I go to it with him. They're both great players, don't get me wrong. But my point being, if Metcalf went for a second, McLaurin should not be a first and a player. You know, like, even
you.
If you think
they're
McLaurin's
comparable.
A little bit, yeah, they're in the neighborhood.
They should be in a comparable market worth.
Like, I think Metcalf's better. But if you think McLaurin's better, he's not that much better that it's like a pick and a player.
I also think McLaurin, should get extra, you grade on a curve. He should have extra weight put on him, his numbers, for pre-Daniels era because the quarterbacks he was
Sam
playing
Howell's,
with sucked.
Jacoby Brissett, yeah.
Taylor Heineke?
Yeah.
Come on,
weren't they
guys.
In a playoff game with Heineke?
Yeah, Heineke went up against Brady, and he held his own.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy was out of his mind.
That was
Heineke, had no fear.
Yeah, because DK Metcalf had Geno Smith, and I forget who. I think he had Drew Locke for, a couple of years, because Russell Wilson got traded. It was he had Russell Wilson for the declining Russell Wilson.
Yeah, though. Neither of them had had great setups with their quarterbacks, but I think
McLaurin had it worse. The whole team, the organization, everything.
Had a different quarterback every year, and they were never good.
Yeah. At least the Seahawks, had some pieces there and, would be competitive. The Washington wasn't for a lot of those years.
I do think asking for a first is just Washington being jerks and being assertive that they still have the leverage with the McLaurin situation, and they're not going to make that trade until they're forced that they absolutely have to. But I think that it's worth the Patriots actually going in on and exploring and pushing as far as they can. If you got to send Stephon Diggs there, I think it makes sense for Stephon Diggs there.
We have a mini Red Sox breaking news.
Oh, boy.
From Jen McCaffrey. I don't know if it's worth the sounder, but the Red Sox have DFA'd Abraham Toro, as we're going to talk about Red Sox Yankees in a little bit.
We are.
So,
all right. Yeah. Shout out Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic.
Yeah. Great guest here on EEI previously as well.
I love Jen.
Yeah.
She's the best.
She does such a great job.
Oh, I believe that we spoke his name, and now he's calling in. Our old friend John Cappuccetti is calling in WEEI. What's up, Sap?
Mego, how are you? John, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
It's so good to hear from you. So I saw you on Twitter, and I was like, I bet he's listening to John and has a problem with this take.
Of course. Well, actually, I love listening to you guys. It's great football talk, and Mego, I'm a huge fan of yours. And John, I'm really close friends with John Sarinita, so I got to get his opinion.
Oh, that's my guy.
Well.
Doing a football
that's
journal,
our guy,
Sarinides.
Right? But the only problem is we fight all the time, so I think he's probably going to take your side on this one, but we'll see what happens. The only thing that I see with McLaurin's better is he's had a crap load of crappy quarterbacks throwing to him until last year when he finally got a stud quarterback, and he was still putting up numbers and great numbers and playing on a team that really never contended. DK Metcalf had at least for a little bit somewhat of a decent Russell Wilson, Geno Smith, had another good receiver with him. So I think I would take McLaurin also because I think he could run the entire route tree where Metcalf is kind of more limited. He's kind of a guy that can stretch the defense. But, no, I think it's a fascinating conversation. We're talking about, two really, really good wide receivers that the Patriots could have had in 2019 if they drafted them.
Thanks for that reminder. AJ Brown too, John. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for bringing up that bad nightmare. Yeah, it's true, though. Yeah. Well, glad we got Nikhil Harry instead.
Yeah, that worked out great. Mego knows that I just go where my favorite quarterback is. So, you know, whatever team my favorite quarterback is on, that's the team I root for. It was Aaron Rodgers for 15 years. Now it's Joe Burrow. So, you know, I guess I'm a Bengals fan.
John,
I'm the one
do you want to share who your favorite NBA player is? Is it still the same guy?
Oh, it's LeBron James.
I thought it would be Robert Williams III.
All right. Oh, it's so good to hear from you, Sab. Thanks for calling
in. Same here, Mego. Keep up the great work. Keep up the great work, John. Love you guys.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Yeah, I mean, look, that receiver draft class is going to be one that sticks out to people. Like, it's going to be a story, a scary story that people tell around campfires.
Well, honestly, Mega,
for 15 to 20 years to come.
And you know I'm like a sicko. I'm obsessed with the draft. Like, 2018, when you could have had Nick Chubb and Lamar Jackson, and instead you got Sony Michel and Isaiah Wynn. And then the next year, you could have had any of those receivers. Like, if you got two out of those three guys, like, let's say you got Chubb and AJ Brown, like, we're having a different conversation about this team.
And with, like, McLaurin, I do remember
he was
in
a third round pick that year. He was a little later.
People talking about him being a good fit for the Patriots, like being somebody who was versatile, and I think would have been a great fit here. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. That's the past. You're here now because of the draft that you
had. Cole Strange instead of Trent McDuffie in 2022.
We knew immediately that was the best.
And that's a great, like, this, and I know we got to go to break, whatever, but this is a side note. They drafted really, really well from 2000 to 2016, and then they just stopped drafting well. And I'm not saying they all had perfect drafts, but all the Pro Bowlers, future Hall of Famers, great players they drafted from 2000 to 2016, and then in 2017 they just stopped.
Yeah,
it's like crazy. It's honestly It's crazy to look back on.
Great downfall. All right. Well, on the other side, there is a Red Sox Yankee series that is kicking off tonight in New York at about 1 p.m. We're going to hear from Chris Cotillo of Mass Live to talk to us about what went wrong in that Orioles series and how the Red Sox can right the ship as they go into a really, really important four-game series with the Yankees. We'll preview that series in just a couple minutes, just a quick break.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Why are we playing this?
Aren't we previewing Red Sox Yankees?
I know, but this is like the Yankees song.
Not because we own them. It's like a troll.
Better than Sweet Caroline.
It is
Sweet Caroline. Oh, sucks, by the way.
I mean, come on.
You know, I went to the Red Sox game on Sunday, sat down while that song was sung. I always do that. Hate that song. I hate what it represents, too.
I'll sit for that.
This is a greater song than Sweet Caroline.
I think Sweet Caroline sucks.
I don't think we should play the Yankees victory song.
It's not a victory song. They did win last night.
Zach Coe, sicko producer, celebrating.
No, it's a troll.
This is something, you know, Jones is
you
off today.
Bet.
You know? Jones is off today. We do a little less trolling.
The Yankees have won 7 of the last 8. Even though Boston leads overall the head-to-head 5-1 this season.
Including a sweep, and you know what they did after that sweep?
They traded Rafi Devers.
What a weekend that was.
Very different team than they were when they saw them
just
in June.
Over 2 months ago.
Very different team. And these two teams are going in two different directions. We're going to talk to Chris Cotillo from Mass Live at 1 p.m. about what to expect from this series. Really quickly, before we get into Red Sox-Yankees, which hopefully will be a very fun and meaningful four games for the Red Sox, I just saw this and I had to like triple check it to make sure it's real. It is from the Notre Dame football account that has 702,700 followers in addition to the blue check mark, which really doesn't mean anything on social media anymore. Notre Dame has a new logo. So they're still the Fighting Irish, and they notably tweet Fighting Irish football, and then they tweet the leprechaun. You know, the leprechaun usually has his fists up, like the old-timey fighter stance.
That's a good imitation of it right there, Mego. For those watching on Twitch and YouTube.
I'm going to be completely honest. If you don't know this, I'm from a Notre Dame family.
Okay.
So I have done this pose quite a lot. This new logo that Notre Dame is doing is sports specific. So they have the same leprechaun, but he's acting out the sport for all the different logos. Each team has a different leprechaun logo now. And the one that they debuted is the leprechaun, and he's running with the football. And he's not like Heismaning or anything. He's just running with the football. And I got to be honest, I don't like it.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't like it. Why are you changing this?
And now, like, if you're, let's say you're a Notre Dame football and basketball fan, so you got to buy like two different shirts now, too. Like, it's a nice little money grab. And I'm sure somewhere someone at Notre Dame is like upset that it's a fighting logo, so they want to change it to be nicer.
Do you think that's what it is?
It feels like
they're trying to cancel the fighting leprechaun.
I think it's a combination of that, and it's a little bit of money grab. Yeah,
they're the fighting Irish.
And also, look around college football, right? Like the BC Eagle, is he holding like a bunch of different sports equipment and different logos for different? No, like I don't know. It looks dumb. Like,
terp for twitch.tv/BostonWEI, where you can always catch us. You can also watch us on YouTube, all your favorite WEI shows. If you can go into the Notre Dame Twitter page and find that new Fighting Irish logo so that you can put it up for the football fans, I just don't think that you mess with iconic logos.
No. I mean,
and it'd be like, I don't know. I know that it's a little bit different. Like, we have the alternates for all the sports now. Everybody has an alternate. Everybody has a City Connect. Everybody has a City Edition. Everybody has a throwback game. Everybody has Color Rush. You can see the difference now on Twitch or on YouTube if you want to see the difference between the two logos. But you don't mess with the overall logo itself. Like, the leprechaun is fighting.
The head is a little bit different, too. Like, you notice there's a little more hair on the guy with the football on the top of his head.
Hold on. Are you
saying? Maybe he saw Dr. Robert Leonard. Dr. Lopresti.
He saw Dr. Lopresti and Dr. Leonard?
Yeah.
Now,
some say that I need to see him, but
I think they just pushed his hat back a little bit.
I think he saw Dr. Lopresti. I think that's what happened.
I don't like this. No, don't mess. Okay, there's different layers of this. Don't mess with the leprechaun, first of all. The leprechaun is iconic, and he's been around forever, and he fights. The leprechaun doesn't play football. The leprechaun fights people on behalf of Notre Dame, okay? He's the Fighting Irish. And if you're telling me that they're doing this for all the sports team, are you going to have the leprechaun dunking? Is the leprechaun going to be in hockey gear?
Is the golf team guy going to, like, ride the club like Happy Gilmore does around?
The leprechaun's going to be spanking and riding a golf club?
Yeah,
the leprechaun's
like going to
have a
Gilmore
lacrosse stick? There's no other school that does this, right?
Is there an archery team? Is he going to be, like, holding a bow and arrow? Like, you know, shooting archery? I have no concept.
The rowing team.
Team.
Is he going to be
rowing a boat?
The
leprechaun's going to be in a boat?
Yeah.
This is dumb.
Yeah.
I don't like this for Notre Dame at all. I've texted my family. I need their input with Notre Dame alumni. I need to know. I wasn't smart enough to get into the school, to be completely transparent. I got flat out rejected from Notre Dame. My sister was in a lab. She was in a biology lab at the school at the time and started crying because my mom opened my letter while I was at a lacrosse game and it said that I was rejected. And her professor asked her why she was crying. She told the professor, and the professor told her she could take the day off.
Jeez, some scars
these
there.
I'm telling you, these people are intense, and I'm very curious how the Notre Dame community reacts to this. I know this is a BC town, but you don't mess with iconic stuff like this.
Yeah, and it'd be one thing like, you're a Washington Commanders fan. There's a lot of people that felt that name was flat out offensive before, or the Cleveland Guardians former logo. Mm. This is not like, I don't look at this like that. Like, you know, like it'd be one thing if it was like, oh, their logo was something bad or something ridiculous. Like, this is a perfectly acceptable, iconic logo for 150 whatever years.
To my knowledge, there is a movement that tries to get started at that school once every 4 years. Somebody writes an op-ed in the student newspaper or whatever, and they're like, Fighting Irish is offensive. We should do better. We should just be the Irish or something like that. And the whole school is basically yelling, shut up.
Yeah.
We love being the Fighting Irish. We love Lucky. We love the leprechaun. I actually don't think it's Lucky. Lucky is the Celtics. I don't know what the Fighting Irish leprechaun is named. He's just the Fighting Irish guy.
Yeah, just Fighting Irish guy.
But he doesn't run with the football. He doesn't throw with the lacrosse stick. He doesn't dunk the basketball.
So what? Do they have a boxing team?
He has his fist up and he fights.
Do they have a boxing team? Because that guy would be technically fighting in the logo.
You don't
right?
have like collegiate boxing.
That's true. I'm not. Or even the wrestling team, is he going to be fighting? Right in the wrestling logo.
What's he going to do? This is like Fight Club where he's wrestling himself.
Yeah. Or maybe they don't have a logo because you don't talk about Fight Club or the logo. I don't know.
Your hands are kind of similar in wrestling, too, to what he's doing in the original logo, too. Like, they're kind of, like, up by your
head. Oh, yeah, because you're waiting to, like, make your grab move
just put him in
or
a
whatever. Put him what?
Just put him in one of those singlets.
And he's just standing there ready to go?
No, same pose. Hat on, singlet, fists up.
And he's giving you a little look, Billy. He's like, all right, bring it on. You like that? What do you think? What do you guys think of this? Am I overreacting to the Leprechaun rebrand?
I think the thing is everybody's changing logos. It's the problem, like you said, it's so iconic that, like, why change it?
Why do they?
It's
why
like the
do
Red
people
Sox changing
rebrand
the B,
these?
The Yankees changing their NY. Like, you don't do it.
Why? Yeah.
And now, like, they are going to make more money, I feel. Yeah, because now, like, again, you're going to buy a Notre Dame baseball and a Notre Dame football shirt instead of just one.
That's the idea, right?
I'm such a Notre Dame hater that I think this is stupid.
I actually like Marcus Freeman. It's funny. Marcus Freeman has done something I didn't think was possible. I kind of like Notre Dame with him.
You're not the only one.
I like Marcus Freeman. I was not a Brian Kelly fan. I was not a Notre Dame fan ever. But, like, Marcus Freeman, I wouldn't go as far to say I was rooting for them in the national championship last year, but I was like, hey, good for them. Like, that's good.
Like, I like him, but I still, like, it just can't overcome the hatred I have.
How about Brian Kelly? This is not related, but how about Brian Kelly?
We're so far off the rails.
Leaving Notre Dame in the dust, go, like, at a recruit's house, saying, oh, I'm not leaving, and leaving the next morning, he goes to LSU, and they get worse.
And then magically gets Cajun accents.
And Ed Orgeron, right, who just, like, ate ham sandwiches all the time, put together the best team in the history of college football in 2019 or one of them, and now Brian Kelly goes down there and they've gotten worse. Just a little interesting side.
Marcus Freeman rules.
I like Marcus Freeman.
Don't change logos.
The logo should be Marcus Freeman.
See, this reminds me of when the Orioles went from the cartoon bird to the, like, serious drawing of a bird that looked like it came out of a
back to the cartoon bird.
Like, that looked like it came out of, like, the Encyclopedia of Birds.
See, when I was a kid,
Why are you doing that? Don't mess with that. It's beautiful. It's perfect. Everybody knows what it is. Nobody's offended. My family's Irish. Your family's Irish. Are you guys have Irish families back there? Has anybody complained about the Fighting Irish? No, never.
How annoying some of their fans are. But
oh,
not
yeah.
The logo.
I mean, people have complained
not
about
the
Notre
logo.
Dame. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. Are you one of those people? Are there too many uniforms, logos in sports now?
I don't really mind it.
I think there's too many.
Like, when people watch the Red Sox City Connect, and they a lot of people like the green uniforms. I've heard some problems with the hats. I think that they look great. The yellow ones were really cool because of what they represented with the marathon, and they still work them in. Every year, Celtics fans get bent out of shape over what their City Edition uniform looks like.
I don't really care.
I mean, I never buy them. If I buy a uniform or buy a jersey, I never buy the special edition one. I buy the standard one for the player I like because I want it to have, like, lasting, relevance.
But, like, I don't know, like, the Red Sox, I don't like how they wear green on Friday and then yellow on Saturday. Like, just wear the greens on Friday. You've moved on from the yellow uniforms. Wear the marathon weekend, and that's enough for me. And the Celtics, a new City Edition every year is just a waste to me. Because now they're getting, like, last year's City Edition Celtics ones I thought were ugly. Whereas they had ones a few years ago that were really nice.
Oh, you didn't
nice.
Like the action green?
No.
It grew on me, to be honest.
No, I didn't like it at all. Except when Tatum hit that overtime winner in them against Toronto. Other than that, didn't like him at all.
Well, with the Celtics ones, because the Celtics uniforms are so perfect, the closer the City Edition is to just a normal Celtics uniform, the more people like it.
Yeah. I like those ones when Bill Russell died that were like the dark green with the cursive writing for his bar.
See, I liked those too, but I kind of thought that they looked like Bucks uniforms.
They did a little bit. I'll give you that. And like the Phoenix Suns, I think when they had the Valley, those were the best ones in the NBA. And then, like, 2 years later, just got rid of them because they had to make a new one, which I think is so stupid.
I kind of like the insanity that Miami always comes out with, too.
Yeah, those are always crazy.
Their City Edition jerseys are always, like, off the wall, and I kind of enjoy that for them. Not for the Celtics. I like the Celtics to be a little bit more traditional, but I enjoy seeing what they come up with. We have the expected rotation for this Red Sox-Yankees series, according to our own Rob Bradford. Giolito tonight. Unless there's an update that I missed on that, you guys can correct me. Brian Bello tomorrow. Garrett Crochet Saturday, so Crochet Day is Saturday, and then Dustin May. We'll continue to see what you get out of the new arm in Dustin May on Sunday. I think with the exception of the questions around Dustin May, you got to feel pretty good about that rotation. What do you think? What are your expectations with the Red Sox going into New York?
Yeah, and I know they're all one out of 162, but and we're going to talk more about this going forward. Like tonight is really important because you have Giolito on the mound who's been pitching mostly really well the past 2 months. You've struggled the last three games, and you're going against Luis Gil, who's only in his fourth game back from injury, and he's given up 15 hits in 14 innings, and he's also walked eight guys in four. Like, tonight is a very winnable game to start the series, because you mentioned Bayo, he's got to go against, it's Max Fried Friday night. Like, that's a guy that's better than him. And that's something we've talked about before, where the Red Sox play these playoff teams. Yes, you have Crochet, but do you have the horses behind him? Because now the Yankees, they're going to have Rodon one night, but they also have Fried, right? You have Crochet. Fried is better than like, that's the issue. So I think tonight is so important to get, not just from what happened the past few games, but the opportunity you have going against Luis Gil.
The Yankees offense has been super hot, whereas you lost three games straight and loaded the bases three innings straight and weren't able to bring anybody home and made a questionable call with Colton Cowser in playing center field and deciding not to send Nate Eaton in the 11th inning to possibly tie that game. Do you think that between Story, Anthony, Bregman, they can rediscover what those three had been having going and try to get some power back in this offense, try to get some just runs back in against these Yankees pitchers?
Yeah, you mentioned power too, the easiest ballpark in the majors to hit home runs in, right? So I would hope so, and I hate to say it comes down to Anthony because he is a rookie, but it feels like he's been the catalyst for when they've been good in their lineup. He's been either leading the charge or he's been like that second or third guy who's been really good, whether it's all the walks he's drawn, some of the timely hits he's got. So I hate to put that on him because he's a rookie and you're going into Yankee Stadium for a key series. But even if you go back to the other night, like we talk about Nate Eaton not getting sent home, all this. To me, Anthony, he went 2-for-4 in that game and he did a good enough job to get Nate Eaton in. They just chose not to send him. Like, so as bad as their lineup has been, I still think he's been pretty good. I think he's going to have to be the catalyst. And again, I hate to say that for a rookie, but I just think that's what it's going to have to be.
Remember the story, it was like a month ago, from one Chris Mason, a writer very close to my heart, where he talked to Jim Rice about the Gold Dust twins and compared them to the big three coming up. And Jim Rice was like, do not compare the big three to us, like the new big three coming up. Do you think now he kind of had a point?
This is so...
Like I know you emailed about this the other day. He kind of had a point because we're sitting here in August and it's one of the most important series left in the regular season against the Yankees. All you can look at here is Roman Anthony because Meyer's injured again and done. And Christian Campbell has just had a lost season after signing that contract.
And if you want to throw Kyle Teal in as the fourth guy, they did use him to get Crochet. So that's really valuable. Like even and Kyle Teal, by the way, has looked all I don't have those numbers in front of me, but he's looked pretty good, at least at times with the White Sox this year. But yeah, this is something, I mean, how many years, and not just, this wasn't a new thing, Mega. How many years did we hear about, wait till the kids come up, wait till the kids
especially
come up.
Especially with Meyer. Meyer was the prince that was promised
fourth
from
overall
Chaim Bloom.
Pick. Yeah.
Like, hey, it's gonna just wait till Meyer. Like, okay, his story's injured again as for shortstop, and we're putting Kike Hernandez in there. But don't worry, because Meyer's going to be the answer eventually, and now he's injured again.
Yeah, and I think your team, and somebody called in about this earlier this week, your team would look a lot different if Meyer was playing second base, because then Rafaela could just play center field every night, where not only is he better defensively, the numbers point out he's better at the plate when he plays center field. He's just more comfortable in the lineup. So I think you'd be much, or even if it was Campbell, either one, but like Meyer is the guy we were sold. And that whole thing, the way they've handled all this is weird, because Meyer was much better in spring training. He was more experienced, yet they gave Campbell the job anyway at second base coming out of spring training. Campbell was good early, but then obviously tails way off offensively and defensively. gets sent down. Then they finally bring Meyer up. They bring Anthony even up probably 2 or 3 weeks later than they should have, and he's been great. But it just, and even when they brought up Meyer and Anthony, they brought them up at home games like 2 hours before they were going to play the game. They're like, hey, drive from Worcester to here.
Yeah, was it Meyer who could have like, found his looking car keys?
His car keys. And if you go back to when they used to bring young guys up, not 100% time, but they'd bring them up on the road, let them kind of start out, and they'd be advance notice. Like, it felt like these guys were like, oh, okay, these are the big three. We got to bring them up now. And Anthony was ready, probably ready before he came up. It feels like Campbell wasn't ready, and then Meyer was ready. Now he got hurt again, which, again, that doesn't maybe have as much to do with him being, quote, ready, but it's another year with him being hurt. So if, as of now, and it's very early, you know one of those three is good. And Anthony, you do have real questions about Meyer's ability to stay healthy and about how consistent Campbell can be at the big league level.
I think another major question, look, we have the rotation set now, and so you're able to get a little away from the Walker Buehler experience, if we can call it that. He's somebody who is been so up and down this season and seems to be in a down valley again after that Orioles series. So you get a little time away from him. Hopefully these guys can go more than five innings through these games and lighten the load for some of your high leverage guys in the bullpen, and you can get yourself a little organized. But to me, John Lyons, this series is about the offense. Like, I want to see the offense come back alive and be situationally sound and smart and be able to show what they weren't able to show against the Orioles and at times against the Marlins, and that this is a team that can lock in against an AL East rival, the rival, and execute when it matters.
Yeah, and for those texting in, I know Max Fried hasn't been good in his last several starts, but on the whole, I think he's a good pitcher. And I think your point about the offense is an interesting one, because what was the stat you had yesterday? The Red Sox are 3 for their last 28 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, that was from Brian Barrett had that.
Yeah, the Yankees are allowing a .251 batting average with runners in scoring position, which is 16th. So, like, if you're going to get back on track, you would think the Yankees staff is maybe one that you can get back on track against, especially, again, tonight in a guy, Luis Gil, who's just getting back from injury and has not pitched well.
I'm getting some messages from Notre Dame fans.
Okay.
Somebody says, Notre Dame family here, Mago. I agree. Don't like the new logo. So we'll take your calls on Red Sox Yankees coming up. We're going to talk to Chris Cotillo at 1 p.m. from Mass Live to get his insight. He's on the ground in New York. I think we're going to be talking to him as he's like leaving Penn Station. So we'll see how that interview goes. But he's got a lot of insight into what went wrong in the last two series and what can go right or wrong for the Red Sox against the Yankees in a very pivotal series. But on the other side, right after this break, I want to talk about this news around the MLB overall, this idea of expansion / realignment. MLB has had a lot of success with tweaking things over the last couple of years to improve the game. Is this the next a great idea, or is it a total disaster what Rob Manfred is looking at doing? We'll hit that right after this break.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
How about a window into the future? Expansion, realignment, expanded playoffs. I mean, yeah. Can you see that down the road?
I can. I think the first two topics are related in my mind. I think if we expand, it provides us with an opportunity to geographically realign. I think we could save a lot of wear and tear on our players in terms of travel.
MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. Talking on ESPN's broadcast of the Little League Classic on Sunday, discussing the realignment and expansion of the MLB. And a few notes there. I'm curious what baseball fans think about what he's proposing here. The expansion is a long time coming. I think it's an open secret, like that there's, or not even a secret, like it's just expected that there's going to be two teams added. The candidates are Nashville, Salt Lake City, maybe a return to Montreal. I guess there's also a talk around Mexico City, which seems a bit further out.
Nashville would be cool.
I think Nashville
that to
makes
me should
a lot
be the front
sense.
Runner.
That makes a lot of sense. But this realignment, I think, is a bigger deal because just to peek at Fox Sports had an idea about what the realignment might look like. So instead of AL East, there'd be the AL Northeast. That would be the New York Yankees, the New York Mets, the Boston Red Sox, and the Philadelphia Phillies. How do you feel about that idea of having those as, hey, this is your division, no longer the AL East that you've been used to forever?
Red Sox would certainly be last in payroll in that division. No doubt about it. Look, and also, too, if you expand it out, there's no AL West. Like, it's basically almost like the NBA where it's an Eastern and Western conference. Like, all the AL teams are middle of the country East.
Goes,
the NL are...
It goes AL Mid-Atlantic, AL Great Lakes, AL Southeast.
Right. And then, like, the NL has the Southwest, and so obviously the Angels join with the Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks. I don't really love it, to be honest. Like, I like the idea of adding a team in Nashville and adding another team. I don't like that the A's moved out of Oakland, and that stadium was disgusting, but I think the city of Oakland and the fans there got screwed, and now they're in Vegas, so I don't like that. So I don't mind some realignment. This is too much for me. Like, I kind of like the Phillies and Mets staying in the NL, and I know they all play each other now anyway. It's not like the old days with interleague play. But,
and it's not like the kind of thing where you don't get to see these other teams.
Exactly. Like, and I like the Red Sox and the Orioles and the Yankees.
From a broadcast perspective,
yeah,
I mean.
Exactly, right. Like, you can turn on MLB Network and you can see whatever team you want. I like for a division, like, I want the Orioles, the Red Sox, the Yankees, like, to be in the same division. The Blue Jays as well. Like, I like that all in the same division. Like, if you tell me you want to make, like, a Southern division and take the Rays out of it and manipulate something like that, I could be more open to it. Like, I don't mind a little bit. Like, if the Marlins and the Rays, like, if the Rays went to the NL and it was like Marlins, Rays, Braves, Phillies, like, that was kind of a division, like, something like that, I could be more on board with.
So, for example, then another division within this would be the AL Mid-Atlantic, which would be Orioles, Nationals, Pirates, Guardians. I don't know. It's janky to me.
And the Guardians, like, are not in the Great Lakes division, but they're not that far from the Great
right.
Lakes, which
is
weird.
This is the thing when you start trying to make anything like geographic based. It's like, okay, so if you have the Yankees and the Mets in the Northeast together, you know, then I don't know. It's some of these, it's like, it's so important for the Orioles just to be able to travel 25 miles to get to the Nationals. Like, yeah. When Manfred says it's going to take wear and tear away from our players, we pretending like they don't fly in private jets in the most luxurious way possible.
Yeah.
Like, and the still travel stuff to me is a little goofy.
And if you're still going to be playing every team anyway, like you do now. It might be a little bit less travel, sure, but I don't know. I don't mind some realignment, like in the NBA, like the Memphis Grizzlies are in the Western Conference. Like, that's weird to me. Like, a little bit of realignment here and there, I'm okay with. Like, this total overhauling of division. And if you go back, the last time that I can remember an overhaul like this happened was the NFL did this in 2002. And they still kept a lot of the teams kind of in the same division. Like, the Colts left the AFC East, but the other four teams all stayed in the AFC East. And the Colts, awkwardly, are in the AFC South. But they kept it, for the most part, pretty close. And I think if you're going to do some realignment, you should try to keep things that already work kind of close.
From the rivalry perspective, it's not as big a deal for Red Sox fans because you still have the Yankees within your division, so you still get to see them just as much, and that biggest rival in all of Major League Baseball, I'd say, doesn't change. I know Dodgers, Padres have a fun thing going on, but I'm talking about historically.
Sure.
But the Mets, Braves gets broken up a little bit. Like, some of this stuff, I do think.
Or like the Giants are in the Northwest and the A's in Vegas are going to be in the NL Northwest.
Yeah, I don't think the argument for realignment makes sense to me as a consumer. Like, it's not being sold to me enough as a consumer of the sport. Yeah. Where when you say we're going to make these changes about, you know, the pitch clock and ghost runner on second and these things to speed up the game, especially when it goes into extra innings, that worked great. I know the players didn't love a lot of things implemented in that, but I think it really improved the game as a digestible product for consumers. If you're breaking up divisions and some of the rivalries within them, I don't know. I selfishly don't care that much about the private jet. Maybe from an environmental perspective, there's someone out there who cares. I don't care about them, like the wear and tear of the travel. They're multimillionaires who fly on private jets, and I don't think that this realignment really needs to happen.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't mind here and there if you move some things around. Like if the A's move to Vegas and you want to, you know, keep them in the AL West or make them in the NL West and move an NL team to the AL, like little things like that. Like the Houston Astros went from the NL to the AL, like something like that I'm okay with. I just like, I look at this map and like the AL Northeast is okay, but I don't like that the Orioles aren't in it. And again, the Great Lakes division, but it doesn't have the Guardians, which, okay, I guess maybe. And like, again, just some of them fit, but then some of them don't fit. So it's tough because, and it's like you said, when you make something geographic, it's tough to make everything fit.
All right, we'll continue our Red Sox talk later on in the show, but we're going to turn back to the Patriots right after this quick break. Who else could we talk about? We haven't really gotten to him yet this show, Drake May. We got more concerns rolling out about Drake May right after this break.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.